grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Aye, it is. Welcome aboard, Chris Fowley, as per. How's it going, mate?
Very well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, and a good afternoon to you as well, and a good afternoon to you as well, John, also.
All Hi, Chris. Chris hey. Fowley, it is our pleasure to have you here in the studio. The head of Normal New Zealand, and also our good friend from the hemp store there on K Road.
Indeed.
Just up there doing a good job and getting hemp products out to people who need them.
It's like community outreach up there, I tell you.
How's it going with edible hemp being edible now? That humans can have it, not the pets.
Oh, I love it. I had a hemp brownie today. Mate. Delicious. What? And a hemp brownie,
What can I notice from eating hemp? Do I get some kind of skin benefits and stuff?
You get bulk. You get
gains.
You get brainier.
Oh, shit. No one told me about the gains.
Well, it's very high protein and high energy. Lots of amino acids and things. So generally, I mean, you know, what you get is highly individual, isn't it? But a lot of people say after a couple of weeks on the hemp that... you know, the skin and nails and immune and everything.
So it's a cumulative situation?
I think so. Not an instant, you know, but it just helps you get back into having everything you need.
A whiter smile, a spring in your step.
Did I tell you I had
no
hemp pie the other day?
No claims are made.
I had Irvine's hemp pie. It was chicken. It was pretty good. Pastry was a bit green. To be
interesting.
Expected.
Yeah.
I don't know if
that's food
colouring
yet,
or actual hemp.
The chicken puts me off, but
Irvine's puts me off a little
you
bit.
You wore that too.
But hey guys, chuck us a sponsorship.
But speaking of which, so it brings us to it. The first interesting story of the week was Russell Brown writing about...
Old mate Russell Brown. What a good dude.
Indeed. And nominated for a Normal Award this year, I believe.
Oh.
So that's right.
Do we get invited to the Normal Awards?
Oh,
if you want, I might be able to get you some passes.
Yes.
Am I normal?
So what he's writing about is that that cannabis may actually reduce the use of more harmful drugs, and in particular opioids, and this in fact might not just be a conspiracy theory or wishful thinking,
common sense to me.
Or in fact, just it might go deeper than, for example, someone making a decision that to wean myself off this more addictive opiate or whatever, I'll have this other thing and I'll just wean myself off and by getting less wasted or something.
Rather than landing.
Yeah, well, there's actually, it turns out, more of a biological basis for it and what the cannabinoids are actually doing in the brain. Mm-hmm. And they've found, for example, that CBD reduces the cravings for methamphetamine when they get some rats and they get them addicted to meth, and then they the life of these lab rats, and then they give them some CBD and they find that their craving for the meth has reduced.
Right.
And so this could well be happening at a population-wide level, and they've certainly found in a lot of places where it's legal, or there's a lot of things, you know, as you will have heard in the mainstream media, where you get studies saying both ways, bit of this, bit of that, not quite sure, but it seems very clear that in places where it's legal in America and now in Canada too, they get a reduction in opioid use.
So it's not a case that the rats get all their activities done and then they just want to relax?
No.
What about the fact that I've seen these studies, and I do like the fact that people have discovered that, hey, if you make the rat's cage not an empty shithole with nothing in it, and you put like a couple of things in there,
a couple of other rats, more conducive environment to having, like, you know, like they can chill out, they can muck around on the thing, they can do this, they can do that. They won't actually go and have heroin.
For the heavy juice.
They'll just be like, hey, I'm a rat, I'm cruising around with my mates.
Turns out my environment is a big deal on my addiction.
It's having social connections tends to be strongly correlated with not getting the cravings in the first place. But once they've given it to them, then having a control group of some that are not getting the CBD and some that are... And the ones that are getting the CBD are having less cravings.
All right.
That could be a benefit. Certainly, you know, it could be something we could think about in the medical cannabis scheme, that should it be available as a substitution therapy, a bit like methadone and things like that.
But that's terrible for everyone as well, right?
Like, well, it's all about risk management and what's worse for you, you know. So anyway, it's a good example that the solution is not always
it's from the man.
As long as it's a step up, then doesn't have to be perfect, if you know what I mean. Don't let perfect get in the way of better. And that's something that we need to bear in mind when it comes to the referendum. Don't let perfect get in the way of better. Yeah. That's both when it comes to us in terms of law reformers going, whether there's certain points about whatever model comes forward that we might not agree with. Mm. But overall, hey, it's got to be better, right?
That's good.
But also in terms of the wider community, people are certainly at the moment...
he is fucking mental.
Well, where I was getting to is that people are often in the media, they're picking particular things to point at and say, this is why we shouldn't make it legal, or I've got this concern, and therefore, and we're getting a lot of kind of angsty articles at the moment talking about, you know, fears of what might happen.
Right.
And again, it comes back to me, you got to look at the totality of it, and there could be certain points that we don't like.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, and then... you've got to think about, well, how do we deal with that? So something that's come up, for example, this week, another media story was a survey of people in the construction industry, in particular the bosses, and saying, the bosses, the owners and that, are you concerned about cannabis legalization? And of course they would be, right? I mean, they have a statutory duty to have a safe workplace that's on them as directors and owners personally. Mm. And of course, if there's going to be a change, it would be irresponsible if they weren't concerned. Now, that's not the same as saying, are you opposed to it?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's a good idea or not? It's just saying, well, do you want some more information? And I think at the moment, there wouldn't be many employers around New Zealand that wouldn't want more information, right? So to me, that really highlighted to me that they need information and they need guidance. And I think, like a lot of the concerns that we have around the referendum, a lot of it comes down to a lack of information.
Yeah.
And once people actually get exposed to that. But in particular in the construction industry, I mean, whether it's legal or not, it's not going to be appropriate to be high at
work.
Dude,
I've got a direct situation here. I was working down by Victor Arena. I think it was the BNZ building. Back in my plumbing days, guys. Eye contact. I saw this dude with a beanie on, with a weed leaf on his beanie, right? And I was like, okay, sweet. And he goes up and operates the crane for a bit, and that's fine. And then he went over to the park and definitely had a session. Like, there was weed, he was smoking weed over there, and he came back and he was operating the crane again. And I remember the moment I was under like a stack of jib and he's operating the crane, and I thought, I don't feel that stoked about this situation. So I can definitely relate to this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to argue for that to be allowed. That doesn't sound right at all. Yeah. And that's the same as if he had gone over to the pub and had some beer gone back to work, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of thing, we need to be really clear that's
but he
not...
didn't invite me either.
That's not... So, well,
it's not cool.
No, that's not, like, legal now, and it won't be legal under the referendum. So I think that kind of fear that, oh, if we make it legal, then everyone's going to be high on the job or doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've got, there's the point of what happens right now, despite it being illegal. The situation that you just said happened under the current law, right? But B, when we make it legal, it isn't going to make that behaviour legal. Mm. And in fact, it might just give them more tools to actually deal with it properly.
Yeah.
And one of the things is they're going to have to actually, particularly in the construction industry, but particularly for driving as well, they're going to have to revisit the actual test that they do, because it doesn't measure impairment. And at the moment... that person that you're talking about that was high on the job doing the crane, being very dangerous, there's no way of actually detecting that person's high right there at the moment.
Right, or how far.
Well, what they can detect is that they had something yesterday or the day before or the month before. They can't detect that they're on it right now using the urine test that they do. So they need to actually change the test instead of doing this test that picks up an inactive metabolite. Actually do a test that picks up an active metabolite. It's actually really easy.
Is it?
But they choose to look for the inactive one because it hangs around for a month or two.
Is it true that the best test at the moment going around is still just to walk the line and that kind
of buzz? Absolutely. That has the strongest correlation, and that's why the police do it at a driving level right now. Yeah. If they think you're impaired, they get you to walk the line and touch your nose and that. It does have the best correlation with impairment.
Right.
What we think should happen is that some whizzy person out there needs to develop an app that basically does that on a phone, so that you don't need a cop to come along and make you walk the line, but your phone just tells you to do it, and your phone's got all these sensors and things in it.
A whack-a-mole game on the phone or something.
Exactly, and if you get within a certain score or within a certain baseline of what you normally get, you're cool to proceed. You know, so technology can save the day when it comes to this. So construction industry, don't fear cannabis law reform. You've just got to deal with it, and you're going to have to deal with it whether cannabis law changes or not.
Right on. Right. Yeah. That's so true. I mean, yeah, we need a result for that.
Next, though, just to one last thing, and this is a slight downer, this one, and this just comes back to why we need to change the law, and that is we get these really stupid decisions at a justice level. This week had a story about why a pastor who abused children served half as much prison time as a low-level cannabis provider. And so what it turns out has happened is that the Ministry of Justice is using algorithms to guide sentencing. Yep, exactly. To guide sentencing, both for initial court cases and also for parole. And they do this thing called a ROCROI score, a risk of conviction and risk of imprisonment or risk of reoffending. And so cannabis, this guy in particular, he rated higher. And so the pastor that abused the children served a year in prison, and the guy that sold a tinny to a cop, he served 2 years in prison. Let me look it up on your free internet.
Welcome aboard.
I'm thinking South Island, right? Oh, yeah, Dunedin drug dealer. There you go. Oh, and an Auckland pastor. So, okay, nationwide. There you go.
Thing is, I'm usually champion algorithms. I think John probably heard me talk about algorithms fondly. But.
2 years for selling a tinny and 12 months for abusing a child.
Did he sell it to the guy from Auckland?
The tinny dealer was in Dunedin. And the pedophile pastor was in Auckland. That's not a dish.
So we just need to steer clear of algorithms for sentencing.
Algorithms?
I think so. Bring the humanity back. You know?
New Zealand's algorithm country, though, eh? We get tested out with that kind of stuff. It's like, just the right amount of people.
It's certainly a good reason to take cannabis out of the criminal justice system. That's for sure. This person shouldn't have been anywhere near the courts.
Can't buy. On that note, Chris.
Righty-ho.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you very much. See you next week.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.